Two fat dykes think they're original and try polyamory.
I feel like that's the news headline for this whole show. I'm like, be more specific. Two fat dykes actually try to practice polyamory. Yeah, like Jessamyn and Ash drive across the country in 4 days. Mm-hmm. Ash does most of the driving, all of the driving. They fight every day. Every day of their journey to California, which they arrived at just in time to work for a week and a half in Southern California and then drive the 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 to Northern California, where they have decided to reside, live. They have decided to move to Northern California. News at 11.
This episode of Dear Jessamyn has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
I think it's a nice introduction. Salutation.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to say. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Jessamyn.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Supposed to look here.
I'm good, but I have a cough. And part of it I just want to explain to the world is that when you're in California, even though you're from North Carolina, you can buy weed at a dispensary. And sometimes what that means is that the weed is like stronger, more potent, more available, and makes you cough. It's just a thing. So anyway, that's what I'm experiencing right now. And otherwise, I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity. Just to get that out of the way.
Totally.
How are you doing, Jessamyn?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad to be here. I think that it's been a while since we recorded. It's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, going on almost a month. And I feel like before we left, I was really, I was burned out on everything, to be honest.
Before we left a break?
Yeah, before we took a break for the holidays, I was burned out on everything. And the break was very restorative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I also gained a new appreciation for this show.
Mm-hmm.
And really came to appreciate that we have been recording every week and that it is such an incredible memory bank of
time
journal,
capsule.
Time capsule, literally, especially through this incredibly chaotic and difficult and different time in our lives. And it's just like really cool to me that we have all of this memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely felt regret or something like it, mm-hmm. that we didn't record during the break, because there were so many things that happened each week, every day. And that has happened to us consistently since we started dating, and then especially since the start of the pandemic. But then I think the last 6 months have been like every day, blah, blah, blah. And this last 3 weeks was no different. I think even more so on hyperdrive. And so I regret that we didn't get every week like, okay, so what's happening this week? What's happening this week? But today we can kind of
do a little recap.
Give a little recap. Yeah.
I think also like there's something about not recording this time though that made space for all the things that happened to happen. If that makes
sense.
That's
exactly right.
There's this balance. And maybe this is what I'm bringing in actually. I'm going to ask you after what you're calling in, but there's this balance between, I'm finding as a media maker and documentarian, that you have to also live. Like you can't record everything.
Literally. That's exactly right.
And striking that balance where you feel like you have, like in my case, like I have the footage to make the art that I want to make at the end of the week, that it's just there ready for me, and that I lived my life well and I also captured some of it, and then I can do what I want with what I have, and I feel like it's abundant, like it's enough. I think it's a microcosm of feeling like I am enough.
Mm-hmm. But literally
practices like that where I'm like, no, I did. I captured as much as I wanted to, and I lived phone free, you know, device free as much as I wanted to. Finding that balance, I think, is like for me a week by week thing. It's partly why I love this. Like, what are you calling in every week? It's partly why I love recording every week. Anything that I can do regularly like that helps me like feel my place in the world. I was a goalkeeper in field hockey, and field hockey is kind of a small goal cage. And I could like tap with my stick on one side and feel the right side of the, like the right goalpost, and tap with my glove on the left side and feel the left side. And that's just how it feels to me to just be checking in and be right in the middle. So if the ball comes, I know where I am in regards to the goal cage. Love a sports analogy.
I love a sports analogy.
But yeah, I would tap on the right and tap on the left just to know where I was in regards to the cage so that I could stop the ball from going in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I feel like in this balancing act of like, I want to like tap on my like ease and like not working, and tap on my like capturing, holding, memory making is also kind of working sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just by myself in the middle so I can be ready for whatever comes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Literally tapping, finding the, what are the barriers, or like, what are the things keeping me safe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the things actually, because the goal too is like, it's your tool. It's like the thing that you are using. So it's like, what are the lines of this? It's not even like a thing that's holding you in. That's really interesting. So like, do you want to chew on these? I know they have
Keef. You can't smoke these on those shows.
Yeah. They're Keef wrapped in Keef.
On the outside?
Yeah.
Keef is weed dust. So when you grind, there's like this fine dust that falls that you don't often, some grinders will catch for you. And when you catch enough of it, you can use it for different things like making weed stronger. I just want to explain that for the non-weed heads.
No, literally. And I was like, I mean, you can literally just make Keef from like on screens and shit. It's the main way. It's like a really good way to make butters and shit is to use Keef instead of just herb.
I will just insert here that something I don't love about weed culture, and it's a product of having to be so underground for so long, is that it is kind of inaccessible sometimes. People will just talk about weed stuff and be like, everybody knows.
No, or that's how this whole fucking legal market is able to operate, because people don't know anything about weed. They don't want for people to know more about it, because if they did, they wouldn't be out here spending the amount of money that is spent in dispensaries on shit that is
getting
so stupid.
White men billions.
The packaging, literally, you're paying for like so much packaging with this shit. And like, meanwhile, dealer down the street is like, cool, so the thing about plastic baggies is that it is the same thing.
Get a wax sandwich bag. I mean, if you don't like the plastic, you know what I mean?
There's so many different, there's biodegradable options that really have nothing to do with
the waste of the cannabis
industry.
It creates
so much waste.
Disgusting.
It's really disgusting, honestly.
What are you inviting in, dear?
Patience. I feel like patience is the thing. What's up? Do I say this every week?
You were just so quick with it.
I know. I knew. I'm just... patience and just like allowance and like just letting things be and like letting not trying to course correct or trying to like know the answer, trying to learn what a full body yes is, what a gut reaction is. I'm noticing the difference recently, like the, because I'll like vacillate between multiple options, like at least one or two, like, okay, should it be this thing? Should it be that thing? And I get really fixated on getting the right answer and like doing things correctly. So that when I don't, when I don't do things, when it doesn't go, when I pick something and I'm like, fuck, was that the right answer? It's like, I forget that it's all the right answer. It doesn't matter. There's all, you can pick any choice. It doesn't matter. But also like, I don't have to, I can just listen to whatever my body is actually saying, because it will say what the thing is. And sometimes it doesn't say it immediately. And those are the times that I get hung up. Like the last few weeks, I've needed to make a lot of decisions that are like huge decisions, things that I could not have foreseen. Honestly, I guess I could have. There's a Capricorn. It's Capricorn. You know what? It's Capricorn season, perhaps, that has me feeling this way about it. But there's a part of me that's like, maybe I could have foreseen it, or like I could have figured it out, but like I didn't. And I've had to make these decisions where it's like, what is the right move here? Where, okay. But then I forget that like, if it's a full body yes, it's already happening before the yes is even fully processed as a word. Like, I am in the act of doing the thing. I notice it when I'm selecting music, because like, I pick music really intuitively.
It's because you move and with intuition. You don't have time to think about it. You're already moving.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like, when I'll pick a song like to go next, it's like, you don't know what the flow is going to be. But when you know the song is the next song, you just do it. It's just like, it's not even, I don't even need to think about it, like yes or no. And that's, to me, is what a full body yes is. Mm-hmm. It's like, just do it. And so I'm trying to what I'm inviting in is that like awareness that full body yes is always present. And if it's not present, don't do it. Period. Like, don't do it. Don't do whatever the thing is. It doesn't matter. No, it don't matter if it means like not getting on a plane and like everyone else is going to do a thing. It doesn't matter if I'm like everyone else is going to eat food or something. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do that. Just you know, like whatever the thing is. And even like if it's work that's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't have a full body yes on this, so like, I'm not going to do this.
Well, and I'm going
to
take some time, which is your patience that you're talking about too.
Yeah. But I think that like, I can get into these cycles of like trying to make shit happen or trying to like engineer things. Mm-hmm. And I want to get away from that. I don't need to be engineering so much. I just want to be present, be patient, and wait for the awareness to be there. What's new in paradise?
Two fat dykes think they're original and try. Polyamory. News headlines. More at 11.
I feel like that's the news headline for this whole show. I'm like, be more specific. Two fat dykes actually try to practice polyamory.
Polyamory.
Like actually have the wheels, the tires kicked of their polyamory. Mm. Is that what you mean? News at 11.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the headline.
Quite a catchy.
That's basically what happened. No, like right after. So did we record the week that
we recorded in LA?
Drove across. No. Oh, we did. We recorded in LA. Yeah. So we've already talked about having driven across country. Well, fuck
cut all that, never Kylie. Mind.
No, why can't we leave it? Whatever.
Because it doesn't go.
Oh my God, I forgot.
We're just getting back into the hang of this. This is what I just want a little bit of flexibility and looseness, because I think we're just like stretching it out after like, you know, not practicing for a minute. Is it okay?
I mean, I don't see a problem, I guess. I'm not as interested in a firm structure as y'all are. So
it's not a firm structure so much as like something that can, some continuity is what I think. Talk to me about what's coming up for you. Or it's going to blow up
like,
shit.
I feel like course corrected or something. Or like, that's not how you wanted it to go. And so now we have to restart.
We don't have to. I asked. That's why I asked.
Okay, then let's do it.
But if it's not working for you, I want to talk about what would work for you.
I'm just feeling controlled. I feel like we started it, we can keep going, but I also feel like I get you that you would like continuity. So what's new in paradise? What's up for you? What's going on for you?
Right now?
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel like we fight on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes it starts with just not being aware of the other person's sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to create a little bit of spaciousness so that like
does it bother you that we fight on the show?
It doesn't bother me. I just don't feel combative right now, which is kind of rare. Mm-hmm. And so when I don't feel combative or like at the end of my rope or like tense, it's nice to just be like, hey, what's coming up for you? Let's like talk it out. Let's like gain those muscle memories of like, you're upset, but I'm not upset with you for being upset, you know, mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming up. I don't mean to be like trying to control or manipulate your situation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not sure what you're looking for. I feel like you have an idea of what you think the show should sound like or be like, and I'm not really clear on what that is. And so I don't know how to.
Just us being ourselves.
Yeah. That's what I feel like.
And being open. Maybe something that happened is making you feel less open. And so that's sort of what I'm getting at. Yeah.
A lot has happened.
Okay. If I have a design for the show, if I have an idea about what the show is supposed to be, it's that we're open with each other. That's all.
Okay. So what's new in paradise is that we have made a lot of big decisions over the last few weeks, and they were all in line with coming up to Northern California, which we did right after our last recording.
Like the day after or something? Very soon after.
It was very soon after. And we've been here ever since. And I personally have not left the like 2-hour radius of El Sobrante, California, which one of my friends who I was talking to on Marco Polo, she told me that every time I say El Sobrante, that she has pictured it as the long lost Bronte sister, Elsa Bronte. And it was funny because our friend who lives here in El Sobrante named our group text Elsa Bronte, mm-hmm. as in the long lost Bronte sister. And it was just a meeting of dork minds that I really appreciated and needed. And this person, my friend who I was talking to on Polo, she is also into Dungeons and Dragons, which our friend who named the group chat Elsa Bronte, mm-hmm. is also into Dungeons and Dragons. And I just thought that that was all really funny. And we haven't discussed that, but we're in Elsa Bronte, California. Elsa Bronte, which means the leftovers, apparently. Mm. Which I love so much as a place to, for us to find home.
Sobrante in Spanish might mean leftover.
It might not mean that. I might have misheard.
I know a tiny bit of Spanish, and it doesn't seem that way, but I'm so curious to know.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about it.
What the fuck do I know?
Well, I just like the idea that it's the leftovers outside of San Francisco, which I, thinking about living in Northern California, thinking about living in the Bay Area specifically, and this close to San Francisco, I've never wanted to live here at all.
Really?
No. I hate San Francisco in general. Yeah, because...
How did you hate?
I don't like the culture. Hills. Oh. No. It is so hilly here, and not hilly. Like, North Carolina, I grew up in the foothills of North Carolina. Right. So, like, I grew up in a hilly environment. But it's mountainous here in a way where, like, it'll be like a 90 degree incline that you're just like, yeah, just, you know, gonna get on up there. I've held resentment
for inner it. Mountain goat doesn't say, I gotta get
so
fucking hell.
You're I'm the goat.
Ram.
I'm a crab.
You don't want to scuttle?
No. I would like to scuttle into the ocean, which I do love about it here, that there's water everywhere. That is incredible to
You'll just be driving down the street literally to like, I mean, folks know, but some folks don't know. Mm-hmm. You'll just be regular ass commute, just on your way to Safeway to pick up some eggs, which we won't need to do anymore because I'll tell you in a minute that we're going to get chickens. But here's the thing. It'll just be this breathtaking mountain view, something somebody would put in a movie, and you're just taking your dog for the walk or whatever. That part's really nice about, on the note of what's new in paradise, I feel like there are pieces of this place that feel pretty beautiful and nice to be in the environment of. And so that was a big part of some of the decision-making, I think, that went into us being here.
We came up here because, well, can I say from my perspective why we came up here, and then you say from your perspective.
I love that game.
Yeah. From my perspective, we came up here because your girlfriend lives in California, and you felt compelled to be physically closer to her, and that is why we came up to Northern California, specifically for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And we had not made a plan of what we were going to do after coming up here,
which is pretty typical for us. We don't necessarily know where we're going next when we go somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there were a couple things though, from my perspective, that I'd noticed on the way up here though. One is that it is winter everywhere in this great nation of the United States. Like, it is cold as fuck everywhere. It was cold in Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. like, it, in terms of like places that we should be, this place felt like a good place to come because it's, while maybe not the warmest, is also not the coldest.
That's true.
And some other parts of this state, even nearby, are mm-hmm. very, very cold. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. And also, I have a friend who lives, in El Sobrante, who I had been wanting to kick it with and spend more time with. And he offered us a spot to park the RV that was very convenient. Mm. And finding a campsite in the Bay Area for the holidays, it's not a thing. It's just very complicated. Mm-hmm. Like it's just really hard.
And expensive.
It's extremely expensive.
Yeah. I think I had a sense when we were on the East Coast that the West Coast was just going to be more expensive in general. Yeah, but I didn't, you know, when you think about it, it's like, you don't think about your rent, for instance, mm-hmm. your monthly rent on a day-by-day basis. And it does creep up. It's like, could be between $20 and $80 a day to live wherever you live in the U.S. Anyway. But that's what happens with the campgrounds too, is that every night we pay, you know, between $40 and $80. But that's every day. Mm-hmm. Every day you want to be somewhere. So even just a long weekend, somebody offering us a space, it's not what, you know, we don't love boondocking. It's not the best for a number of reasons. It's not private, number one. We like privacy. But
oh, you mean
it is
dry docking?
Dry docking.
Yeah, yeah.
What did I say?
Boondocking.
Is it the same?
Boondocking is no hookups. Oh. Dry docking is in somebody's driveway.
No, totally. Yeah, dry docking. Thank you.
No, I'm glad that we said that for
a little terminology.
Our friends.
Yeah. You studied that so much better than me. Anyway, I'm going to move on and say, so it's very generous and it's really helpful financially, but it's not ideal for a number of reasons. Mm. So we were like, yeah, like this will be really great because it's really complicated to find a campground. It's a really generous thing. I mean, very kind offer to let us park in the driveway, but also like, it's just weird how it worked out that your friend lived in this rental that mm-hmm. had all this extra space in the driveway and stuff mm-hmm. that, because
yeah,
my girlfriend does not have any space for us to park our RV, for instance, right. You know?
Exactly. Like this particular property is very, very spacious. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself was just like unusual.
Totally.
And really ideal. And it's also like weirdly bucolic out here. Like even in the...
What does that word mean?
Bucolic, like pastoral, like woody
farmland.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. These rolling hills of like white pickets and like,
yeah,
it's the like
in the country, but also
crowing.
In town,
it's like 20 minutes from Oakland.
Yeah. It's very chill. And then also ironically, my friend who was letting us dry dock at this house, he and his wife moved out of this house
the day we got here. Had nothing to do with us.
Totally
They found a better rental.
Literally.
And they just moved, which I would do. So I get it.
Such an interesting perspective.
What? Really.
They found a better rental.
I mean, so whatever. Something that met their needs more. That's what happens in a rental. Totally. I feel like locked into weird leases and like, who am I if I'm not on this property? You know, it's a big identity shift to change and move.
Yeah. Well, so the house was empty. But we were parked on the property. And it became clear over time that the house could offer us a lot of benefits. This first season of RVing was very difficult in terms of finding a work-life balance. Because one of the hardest things I think about being on the move is the lack of consistency. Mm-hmm. And you have to constantly be building consistency and like trying to like keep it together and like finding normal, which I think is hard enough if you don't have multiple digital businesses that need your full attention at all times. And so that was deeply destabilizing, like every single day. And I still honestly really enjoy it, if I'm being very frank.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it and I prefer it because I don't really love living in boxes. And so being able to intentionally be outside of boxes is really spiritually helpful for me.
Metaphorical boxes.
I mean, physical and metaphorical boxes. I think that when you work in an office, you stay in a box all day. and you feel it. Like, and that's what has been so hard about the pandemic is that people are realizing how much time they spent in boxes and how depressing it is. So,
gosh, I just had this image of like, you know how goldfish don't grow bigger if they don't have a bigger tank. Just thinking about like you become the shape of your box. You become the square.
That's exactly right.
That has no like creativity or imagination. And you can't get bigger. You can't expand.
You can't do anything different.
I should say I don't know about other people. I cannot get bigger. I cannot do anything different.
Yeah.
I'm not sentencing anybody to that. Your choice is your choice. I don't know what folks do.
Is it a choice?
To work in an office?
No, I mean like to feel boxed in. Like,
yeah, I think some people find stability and support. Hence my this very conversation is a huge part of my shame. I'm feeling like I'm like failing RV life by wanting to whatever.
So this was something that came up. I think so. How much had you been talking about with other people prior to us coming up to Northern California? How much had you been talking about needing to not RV anymore?
Needing to not? No, nobody. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I talked to my girlfriend a little bit just about like, she would be like, so what's y'all's plan? Like, what's the deal? Can we look in the camera? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. She would be like, what's the plan? Like, what's y'all's goal? What are you doing time-wise? And I'd be like, we don't really make plans like that. But I am feeling like the thought of being here for some extended time feels good. So I think that was the most of what I said to her that like, yeah, that I was like, I didn't know what it meant or what we were going to end up doing. But that like, when I start letting myself visualize what it means to be in a place for even 3 weeks, you know, I was like, wow, that could serve this need and serve that need and make me feel good in that way. And so it was a really slow process of unveiling or something to myself that I wanted that or that that would feel helpful. But, you know, my, I mean, I feel like my, the parts of my job that, there are parts of my job that are just really, really hard, if not impossible seeming without stable Wi-Fi. And so I'm going to admit this is coming up for me now for the first time. There is this piece of me, this Virgo rising piece that's like mixed with the Aries sun of loving a challenge and also needing to do the right perfect job or hating myself. I feel like there's like a, it's like I didn't get it the first 6 months or 4 months or however long we were on the road. Like I didn't get it. Like I didn't figure it out. I didn't do it right. I didn't set the Wi-Fi up right. I didn't do the different routers and boosters and shit. I didn't make time for that. I didn't make it because I was like so busy. I felt like making home in a way that I'm really good at. I'm really good at homemaking. And so I focused on that, I think, more than I focused on the stuff I'm not good at, which is like learning new technology. Honestly, as I get older, I just feel like it's harder and harder. It's a cliche, but it feels harder and harder to learn new tech stuff. And I just don't, it's like, I hate this part of myself, but like, I won't focus on it. Like I'll focus on something that I will make me feel good at the end, you know, not that will make me feel really frustrated at the end. So if I had done a better job setting up the internet and getting my work stuff sorted on the RV, you know, I'm just sort of, I guess I'm just sort of upset with myself that I didn't do a better job at that, but I don't need to feel that way. The other thing is I feel, I love it too. I want it too. I'm like, I feel like I'm regrouping. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves in the story.
Yeah. Well, but I think that what you're saying is really important. So I don't want to be like,
yeah.
I mean, there were, before we got up here, there were definitely reasons that it would be nice to be a little bit more stable for a while. But I think that like seeing the house and seeing, thinking about like being able to have like a stable mailing address and a stable office and a place where the RV can be parked. That was a huge piece of it. It was like, it has to be somewhere where there's space for us to be in and around the RV.
Living in the RV. Living in our RV. House.
And that's the thing about it is that that is our house. And like, no matter what we, no matter where we like are, ultimately, like that's the space that is our home.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's so cool about the RV fitting here is that, you know, and you've been talking about it, like the building is like the office and the big kitchen. And this goes along with my vision of like this long-term vision I have of like homesteading with a bunch of queers and there being a house, but that we all have our own houses on the same space. And that we go in for like the laundry and the dishes and that, you know, that you don't have to do all that in your small space. You can do that stuff in communal space. You can do it in your small space. You can do whatever you want is the idea, but you have access to this bigger thing. And that was something that I was really feeling the vibe of when we started parking here. Like we were going in to do laundry and
cook things.
Yeah. We have an oven.
Use the bathroom with a bathtub, two showers in the house.
Bidet, low key?
Literally.
We don't have a bidet. Literally.
But yeah, so we decided to pick up the lease on this. That was the other thing, is that I personally was not like, oh, let's just like try to find a place to live in the Bay Area. No, like
that's not why we came
here. Like, not at all. But it started to feel that way, to be completely honest. Right. Like, it became like, we need to find a place to like be parked here for a while. Like, that was a big, this is just like you and I talking. We haven't really talked about this in this particular way, but like, it started to feel like there was a lot of pressure from you and a lot of pressure from your girlfriend for us to figure out like what we're going to do.
I mean,
to be honest.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I this is definitely some polyamory of like who's influencing whom to do and say what. I feel this rub when I hear about you talk, like when you've processed with your other partner about like our hard stuff, you know, I'm like, why don't you process with somebody who likes us being in partnership with each other? You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, it comes in. I'm hearing you. I don't know what she thinks or what she knows or whatever. I can only speak for myself and say that, the longer we were here, the more it made sense to me in all of the ways that it was hard for me to move every single week. It's sort of been like, oh wow. I made a plan with an old, good, dear friend, for instance, and she was busy. So we made the plan like a week and a half out, like anybody would if you lived somewhere. And it occurred to me when we were trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? Because their lease is up on this place at the end of the month, at the new year, and we should leave.
It was
kind of squatting in this empty spot. And so what do we do? And we were looking for spaces. And I was just thinking to myself, like, what really tipped it for me is I was like, I have
spaces looking for campsites
to put the RV so we could move off this property. And I was just like, I have plans with my friend on the 6th or whatever. I was like, it's not that I can't drive to them. It's not that I can't postpone it or put it on Zoom or do whatever. It's not that. I was just like, I realized that I had been looking forward to being in a place from which I would drive to my plans with my friend. And the idea of that changing felt hard. And I think these are just the ways that your body and your spirit send you messages about what you should be doing and not doing. Is like, I was like, oh wow, leaving here and not being available to drive just 20 minutes to go have coffee with my old, long lost friend. I was like, that doesn't feel good. I don't want that.
And you've really been talking a lot about like your desire for community and how hard not being around people, like not being around friends while we're traveling, how hard that has been for you. And that this immediately we got here and you're like, you've lived here before, you already have established community here. And you're like, this person, that person, this person, that person.
The big three. But yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Those three.
I felt like I did have a feeling prior to us even coming to California that we might get up here to Northern California and we might not continue going forward together.
We talked about it a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Well, it's been the theme of, I'm sorry to laugh.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
It's just, I'm laughing, I feel like, in a way that you often laugh, but I'm like, God damn it, why the fuck are you laughing?
Yeah, totally.
But I'm just like, we've talked about it every week, breaking up. But the last show that came out, as we record, the show that came out just before this recording is called Are Y'all Breaking Up? It's just like, we've been talking about it a lot.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like I had a feeling that if you wanted to stay up here to be with your girlfriend, then I was going to keep going and not be, not let that be a part of my decision making. And so going into this trip, I was thinking when you get to California, you are going to have to buy something to tow the trailer because you cannot continue to rely on Ash's car as the way that y'all are able to
move
the trailer. And so I've never bought a car like from a dealership. I've never bought, never financed a car, never done any of the things that I needed to do this last week. Never needed to search for thinking about just all the different pieces of it. And I know that I'm sure for someone, this is like not a big deal and you just do it and blah, blah, blah. I have no context for this. And I have never felt so alone as I feel being out here. I've never felt so alone in my entire life. I don't know anybody. I don't have community here. It's already really hard for me to make friends. And so I feel, and especially when we first got here, I felt very isolated. I felt like you were gone a lot. And I was really just like here, just like figuring out how to. It's okay. It's okay. Please, really. Thank you. Just like trying to figure out how to be here myself. And a part of that was like looking at trucks and like which one. And I bought a truck that can tow the trailer. And that night, I was so anxious through the whole process because I was, what if I don't get approved? And like, what if this thing doesn't happen? And, but everything worked out. And I felt such a sense of relief. I was like, I have options. It was very hard for me that all of this, you know, was very hard for me. I know it's like a show topic and it's a thing that, you know, it's entertainment for some, it's my reality. that someone that I love would decide that what they need is different from what we had said we were going to do together. That has been very, very, but with the truck, I was like, okay, this is it. Like I can go anywhere. And there's so many places that, you know, there are campsites. So we have looked at so many different campsites all over this area. And I'm like looking, you know, like maybe they're like an hour away from where your girlfriend lives. And I'm like, okay, so for maybe like a few weeks, maybe we looked at a sublet, like a 2-month sublet somewhere. You know, like we'll be here for this period of time or whatever. Or like I'll be parked in this place and you can be where she lives. And then, you know, like we'll see each other when we see each other. We have two different cars. This will work. And then if I decide that I don't want to be within easy driving distance of where your girlfriend lives, then I can not do that anymore. I can go someplace else. I can continue my life not thinking about that. And then I had this whole come to Jesus over this, over the last few weeks. And this is why I wanted to reference Venus being in retrograde. And we can talk about it more in the Astro Thought of the Week, but Venus being in retrograde, Venus went into retrograde the day that we left Southern California or some shit like that, and is going to be in retrograde until the end of January. And that this whole
I've needed to look inside of my relationships in a way that I have not been conscious of before. And it's made me go inside of our relationship and really think about why I'm with you, what I want from you, what I get from you, what I need from you, the ways that I use you, the ways that you use me, the fake things in our relationship, the real things in our relationship. And on the other side of that, I just felt like I just want to be with her. I enjoy being with her. I feel like we have fun together. I feel like we fight a lot. And you can fight with pretty much anybody. And the fighting always gives way to honesty and a deeper connection. And that feels like really worthwhile to me. And that if this person that I really enjoy spending time with has decided that they would like to spend time with someone else who lives in a very specific place, if I don't have anywhere better to be or anywhere else to be, why would I push back against that? Why would I not want for her to be happy? Why would I not prioritize that and just let someone else's desire be the first thing? Because for so long, my desire has been the first thing. I think in so many different ways in our relationship, on our show called Dear Jessamine, I am always the primary, the first thought. And this felt like a way for me to show up in our relationship and not just be thinking about me all the time. But it is still thinking about me, but in a different way, I guess. And I don't know how any of this sounds or like what fucking narcissism has been uncovered. But that was a huge part of this What's New in Paradise, was coming to terms with our relationship and the why behind it and whether or not to continue it for me. And then there's also this piece where, so my friend who lives here, he said one day that I had been talking about something related to all of the movement and traveling. And he was like, he understands because he has traveled extensively as a yoga teacher and gets the need to be nomadic. And he said, yeah, you know, like you can travel anywhere. And I was remarking on how like this particular area is such a great base camp for everywhere on the West Coast, like even up to Canada. Hawaii somehow feels more accessible from over here. Like we can go down to Southern California. We can go just easily from here. We can go to Santa Cruz. We can go to Portland. We can go to Seattle. Like there's just so much to do. So I was like, you know, if we stayed in this area, we would have the opportunity to like really get to see California, get to see up and down the West Coast, we could go to Mexico easily. And he was like, yeah, you know, like you can, it's great that you still want to travel and like you should, but you know, you got to have roots. And when he said, it was like, you got to have a home or you got to have roots, something like that. And I was like, that is something that has been missing these last few months, is that we don't have roots. We're not rooted anywhere. And I think for me, there is this feeling of being like an astronaut, like disconnected from the space shuttle or whatever. Like, I'm not tethered to anything. And it's a very unsettling feeling. And so to find a home base here felt like finding some roots, something to hold on to, something to be grounded by. I know that was a long rip.
I guess that's what's new in paradise.
What did that all bring up for you?
I'm not talking about any of that.
Why?
I just don't think this is the time or the place for me to do that.
I'm curious as to why not, but I'm happy to talk about
it. Because there's a lot of secrets that we don't share on this show. There's a lot of things we don't talk about. I feel like a lot of what you said didn't land super well with me. I do appreciate this this evolution that's including like my needs and desires being a priority in the relationship. But I think what's missing, what feels like it's really missing, is how that not being true for 3 years made it really important for me to find affection outside this relationship. And I'm saying it that way because I know that I made a choice. But what we never talk about is like, why would I want anything like that? Why would there be so much space in my world for any of that? What was happening in our relationship when I met this person who I've decided by your account, you know what I mean, is like more important than what we were doing together. That's not how I feel about it. So I like, it's hard. I feel like there's a lot of like underlying, you know, emotion that I would love to, I've mentioned to you, like have a therapist or mediator or somebody helping us work through, because it just felt the way you described that. I felt like my narrative would just be different. Maybe.
What's your narrative? I'm not trying to shut down your narrative. Telling my truth.
I mean, I hear you. It just, at the end of it, I was like, when it feels far away from my reality, it's like hard to engage with because I'm like, I gotta just let that be your reality, you know? But that's hard. That does feel like an evolution in a relationship. It feels like a thing that's new since, I don't know when, since sometime.
What is?
Feeling like we're not on the same page. Mm. More. Than we are.
Mm.
You want things that I don't want. You do things in ways that I don't understand. You know, yeah, there's like this whole chunk of a truth that we don't talk about. That's really hard for me because even before we were super committed to just like radical honesty with each other, you know, as you're like getting to know somebody in a relationship and like seeing how it feels to like do and say and be different things and ways, I feel like even when we weren't always saying the whole truth in the ways that I think we do more now, there's just like shit that we don't talk about. It feels like it is the barrier between us.
What is it that you feel like we don't talk about?
We don't talk about different relationships that you have and that you've made in the last year or so. We don't talk about
that
causes conflict. We don't talk about the ways that you've neglected me for the last 6 months, 9 months. We don't talk about the ways that you don't fuck me if you're at work. You want to keep going?
I don't need anything edited.
We don't talk about
this.
The
truth. I feel you.
Yeah. So we don't talk about a lot of things that are very fucking impactful. And what I hear is, I am selfish. I have a new girlfriend. I wanted to move to a place because she's there and I don't love you. I wanted to like do all these things. I hate your narrative because you're leaving out so much truth that makes it understandable what's going on for me. And it fucking hurts. You are lying. about so many things. And I'm going along with your lie for you. But it makes me look like an asshole. And you will just air my shit. And I won't say anything about the ways that you've treated me. Because I don't think that that's very graceful. And I sit on this show and I listen to you defame people I love. And I'm just out here like, there are so many things I could say about so many people.
Who did I defame?
You talk shit about my girlfriend on here.
When did I talk shit about her?
You know it. You know you do. Oh, that's part of how you are. That's part of how you love and chide and all of that. But I'm sensitive and I feel differently. And it seems like you don't care. So I just shut my mouth because that's what I've been trained to do my whole fucking life. You want to get deep? So
fine.
That's what's hard about your narrative.
Heard.
There's a lot's left out.
You know what? You're right. There is someone that I have had a crush on for a while that I feel very strongly about. And that is something that I have not even like let myself come to terms with.
It impacts your time and your attention and your honesty. The ways that you and I are able to communicate with each other, a lot of different things.
I think because I have not communicated my feelings to this person, which has a lot to do with my own cowardice, but also the complexities of the situation with that person, it makes me feel like that part of my life has to be hidden away. To the point where even when you talk about it,
you're like, what do you mean?
Openly, I get very upset and I hate having a secret like that so much. It is so, it like, it eats me up inside and I don't need it. But I do, and I'm learning a lot through it, but it does create this harm and I don't want to do that. And I feel you and I hear you. Completely.
Thanks for hearing me.
And it does happen that when we're talking about this, that, I mean, I do, the last month has been illuminating. Mm-hmm. I think before the last month, I have been like, well, I don't really know how I feel. I don't know about this, but like, I know how I feel. I know what it is. Like, I've got it now. And I hear you.
Thank you.
I hear you. Yeah, but that, I mean,
Venus being in retrograde.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just move to the astro thought of the week? Because like high key, this is all Venus in retrograde, yeah. Like Venus in retrograde, Venus running backwards. I never thought about that bitch running backwards. Cause we always talk about a lot of the planets are in retrograde, like all the time, low key. Mm. And Mercury goes into retrograde. We're at the end of this week, Mercury is going to go into retrograde with Venus in retrograde. But Mercury retrograde is apparently going to happen 4 times this year, which makes sense. It's just like some seasonal bullshit, like unclogging, whatever. But yeah, so Mercury being the planet of communication and Venus being the planet of love. But Venus being in retrograde is like your love life being in the upside down. And it's like, lava on the floor and like you touch something gooey and it feels like a pillow and like, it's just like confusing. And so this whole time of Venus retrograde has just been fucking weird. Like everything has been weird. Like, weird sexuality, weird connections, weird underlying things. And it's actually, you know what it is also? It's like wearing night vision goggles or something, or like
in the upside down.
And I mean, it's kind of fun, I guess, when you get the hang of it, or like fun when you just like get into this is crazy.
Well, I will say getting the hang of it and getting into this is crazy. I feel like after we signed the lease, I had a lot of anxiety that day. Okay, the day you bought the truck, I had already planned. It was a very spontaneous decision, and I had already planned to. It wasn't spontaneous. We researched. Mm-hmm. We looked at this truck.
The actual
we took a day,
going to buy it was
the going was kind of like, you want to go right now? Yeah. And I had already planned to be with my girlfriend that night. Mm-hmm. So that was weird that we made this big decision, this huge, it's a fucking sexy truck, this huge purchase together. And then I left, hated that. And then I feel like the day we signed the fucking lease. Mm-hmm. Exact same. I had already been planning to be with her.
And the day we got here.
The day we got here, that was planned.
No, but I mean, like, they, yeah, you'd had plans.
It's true. The day we got here, the day we bought the truck, and the day we signed the lease. So that feels weird. I'm just telling you, like, these things are not things that can't be avoided, but they are definitely things that I was, like, never gonna do that way. You know what I mean? And it worked out that way. I think you spoke to circumstance and how complex the circumstances are. I think that's where the grace and empathy and compassion come in, is that, like, if we're always understanding all of these circumstances to be complex, and I think our house mantra so far, what do you know what I'm trying to talk about? Mm. Everybody's doing their best.
Yeah.
Everybody in our life, everybody in our home, Baby Shark. When Baby Shark pees on the floor, it's literally because... other people needed to, you know, all pitch in to make sure that that didn't happen. He pees outside. But when we forget, or it's been a long day, or he doesn't ask, or it's too cold, or it's raining and he refuses, and he pees in the house, it's like on me, you know? Mm. And like thinking about ways I can do my best better than what I've been doing for him, for us, for my rug that I have to wash, you know? I just feel like everybody's doing their best. Like acknowledging that is like an also an opportunity and offering to like continue that. To know that tapping into your best is like, just takes a little bit of meditation. Maybe I'm off on a thing, I feel.
I mean, I don't know about a little bit of meditation, but I think it is a meditation. No, I mean, I'm like, I feel like people want to like sprinkle a little bit of yoga or meditation on top of shit and be like, yeah, that'll fix it up right there. You should do it. And I know that like, there is a whole science of that. So like, shout out to whoever the fuck knows about that or studies that.
Need science.
Yeah, but I'm like, I think, I feel like it's a little bit more open-ended than that, but I feel you though, for sure, that it's like just being present to it.
I do want to just say there was this really intense pivot mm-hmm. a little bit in our situation earlier, mm-hmm. and I maybe just want to point out or say or talk about the fact that that's been one of the most amazing things about this last chunk of time, this Venus retrograde, is that we do have these very intense conversations. And it used to be, I think we didn't know each other well enough or couldn't hang with it hard enough that it felt only bad. And I think these days we have these intense conversations and get through them and hear each other and then let the emotion pass, which is what emotion wants to do in the body. It just wants to move through, you know, but we hold on to it like, oh, now I'm mad. Now I'm violent. Now I'm angry. You know, it's like when you're mad, you can just be mad and then not mad right after that. Mm-hmm. The body wants to move the emotion along. So I feel like I just want to presence that. Mm. I wondered, just looking at ourselves while we do this makes me sort of wonder what it looks like for other people. Not because I am going to change myself for other people, but I'm just like thoughtful of and empathetic to like the idea of that. And what does it mean to switch? Is it fake? Was it an edit? It was not an edit.
That's what I love so much, is that we really did just like keep going. I wish that we'd recorded that part where we were trying to figure shit out and make some notes about what's new in paradise.
And also fight a little bit.
Yeah, we fought a little bit off the mic on here, but like, I think the reality of the situation is that if you are going to fully discuss something, it's going to get heated. Yeah. And like, you're going to see parts of the person that like you don't want to see because it's the parts of yourself that you don't want to see. And I think a lot of times people cut and run in a relationship or cut and run in a conversation because they're like, I don't want to feel this. I shouldn't have to feel this. Yeah. Like, at what point in life were you not going to have to feel shitty things? Like, right. You are. And it's just awakening you to yourself. And like, I feel like you give me so many opportunities to actually receive another human being. Like, just receive. Mm. Don't even like try to do anything. Don't try to fix anything. Just get it. And then like in that, it can go a lot of different directions. And frankly, jury's still out on the final result. But I do. I mean,
I love how like on one of our deathbeds, we're going to be like, bitch, you are being dramatic and I want to break up with you for
it. I'm like, or if it was the person, I'm like, wake up, wake up. Wake up! God damn it. I feel like she's playing. But I feel like the astrology bears us out. And I do, I also just want to say that as a quick part of the Astro Thought of the Week.
Yeah.
If you read our co-star,
should we put our co-star up on the website?
Oh, shit, that should be like a thing.
We'll do a shared thing.
So our co-star gives me the impression that we should not talk to each other. Like, we have a lot of, you know, like how co-star does like black and white and gray or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like some of our big placements are black, and it's just like, but what they're saying is it's a challenging pairing. Mm. And so I would take challenging as like bad. Like, it's a challenge. It's not a good thing. But if you look at our pattern, we are like past life loves who are like learning about each other and learning about ourselves and like all this shit. So,
and
use multiple astrology apps, kids.
That's it.
Were you going to say something else?
That the pattern also talks about how both of us live in a way that the relationship cannot come first.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm experiencing an evolution in our partnership right now where I have to figure out how to, I know that it's true that I need to get up at 5 a.m, even if you want to cuddle, even if that's your favorite time to have sex, even, you know what I mean? It's like, I have to figure out what we're going to do about that, because what I need to do at 5 is brush my teeth and drink a glass of water before getting dressed to go to the gym, before taking a shower, long before sitting down at my desk. And the structure of this house is offering me an opportunity to really live into those truths. As much as I know it's night and day about getting my work done, and I've not been getting my work done. So I just have to make a change. And what it means is I have to live into this pattern that my relationship with you cannot be the first and only thing, which is what my trauma wants me to do, you know? So I love the opportunity. I love the grace that we've built around ourselves and each other. I love the continuity of this space so that we can live into these new boundaries that we're creating that include more stuff, this abundance, this spaciousness, this growth, this evolution. Like, we have to get strong to hold it all. And that's what I need to do when I get up in the morning. And you're so supportive of it. It's just really hard because I want to be with you in the bed in the morning, but I need to do something else. So when I get to, it'll be special, you know, but I appreciate your support and all that. And it's a weird, like, gratitude for space, like a weird thank you for releasing me. You know what I mean? And I feel like I have to do the same with you. I was practicing that yesterday, you know. It is the definition of irony for me that it's like the gift of the Magi. It's like, the more space I give away from you, the more the space we have together is good and like nourishing and not full of bickering and bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So is that the question? Am I just forcing Kylie to be on this recording for,
I don't know, we're like the 45 rest of her minutes life. Over here. I feel like you should go. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you a great deal. In this process.
You too. See you.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop Page.